So how do you want to start?
Well, I suppose we should start with the daily clips, the hyper report.
Hello, this is Scott, and it's the Hyper Report for October 24, 2012. Here are the prices for various items such as gold, silver, and oil for today. First, Spain's vicious circle worsens. It appears Spain is more likely to miss this year's deficit target. The Spanish economy also contracted in the third quarter by 1.7% year-on-year. So, more and more, the Spanish economy is circling the drain and it is pulling the rest of the EU with it. So, what will Berlin, the EU's new de facto capital, do to prevent the situation getting worse? We will see. Next, German gold. Bundesbank, Germany's central bank, won't let the German parliament members physically inspect the 3,400 tons of German gold vaulted abroad because the central bank vaulting facility supposedly lacked visiting rooms. To make things more interesting is the fact that the German constitutional court has ordered the physical audit of gold at Bundesbank. As a consequence, Bundesbank has begun the repatriation of German gold from the New York Fed. The Bundesbank will request the New York Fed ship 50 tons of German gold back a year for the next 3 years. Now, why is it going to take so long? Can't the New York Fed remove the tungsten out of those serialized gold bars faster? Next, U.S. government's foreign debt. In 2009, the debt that the U.S. government holds to foreign interest was about $3.07 trillion. Today, it is now about $5.43 trillion, or $47,495 per household. Also, each household today owes about $10,000 to China. Next, suddenly, Wall Street is taking the red pill. More and more people on Wall Street are beginning to realize that central banks could wipe off entire debts with a keystroke, and that is making them very uncomfortable. Needless to say, this action would debase trust in the financial markets and is also an act of war by not repaying an honest debt. So, could the U.S., with the largest military in the world, simply tell its foreign creditors to go sit and spin? We will see. Next, split visit charge. Looks like doctors have become capitalists. Insurance companies place limits to the amount of money that a doctor can collect from a single visit by a patient. So, to collect the same amount per hour, a doctor can do two things. One, see more patients per hour. Two, double or split visit charge those patients who ask more questions, which require more time. If there is a will, then there is a way. Next, e-voting company could intercept and change ballots without a trace. A Barcelona-based e-voting company that will be counting votes in 26 states can easily intercept and change these electronic ballots without a trace. In addition, there are plans to allow users to vote using smartphones, which can be hacked. So it does not matter how the vote turns out. It only matters who manipulates or counts the votes. Next, Gumby backscattering scanners. The TSA will be removing the X-rated backscattering machines from busy airports and moving them to less busy locations. The new replacement dangerous backscattering machines will present cartoon-like images of passengers. While the perverts in the TSA will no longer get excited at looking at naked women and children on these machines, the machines are no less dangerous. Finally, please prepare now for the escalating economic and social unrest. Good day.
They have a list at the end of all the things you should have.
Mm-hmm.
Food and water.
Yeah. A little while ago on the Hyper Report, he was saying that the world food reserves were at a 40-year low. And I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, the population was at an all-time high.
Yeah. That's, relates to, that movie you linked me to that had the truth about 2012 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that how they're holding all of the ungenetically modified nutritious food in those seed banks.
I don't know. I got all my seeds. I got like almost $200 worth of seeds.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'll be coming to you then.
Yeah, I'm a prepper. I'm stocking up on food and whatnot.
Getting I only have hot pepper seeds.
That's okay. I got some of those too, but the more the merrier.
I don't know. Subsistence diet of hot peppers. Ouch. Probably like start eating sand.
Yeah, not
to try to get some calcium carbonate to
not
basify
a fun
it.
Poop.
Ugh. Maybe you'd get used to it though.
Yeah, like a scar. The flesh grows back twice as strong.
And twice as thick, though. That's the downside.
Yeah, that might be not a good thing.
Oh, yeah, we owe China $10,000 a household now.
So I wonder if that's like every tax-paying citizen, or if that's just the total number of houses in America happens to be $10,000 to China. Now, that was
probably
a great skit.
But all they have to do is call in
show
a debt.
Was great.
Yeah.
And be a random ranking. And we're screwed. We're screwed.
Worship. Yeah.
They would take all of the money in the United States economy.
That's okay, because then they'd get the interest from the Federal Reserve, right?
Maybe, but that's getting to the point where, like, you're tapping vaults of gold that are only confident in being filled. No one has any actual hard evidence that it is.
Well, that's a scary one.
Like, think of Fort Knox. There could be nothing in there.
I don't know, man. I saw it in that one James Bond movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Goldfinger back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's Goldfinger. Because Oddjob gets electrocuted by the weird bar things.
No, Bond pulls out the cord on the bomb or something like that. That's going to change all the gold to be not worth anything so that the investors overseas will profit greatly from the mission.
So it was going to just blow it up or... Irradiated or something?
I think it would irradiate or change the molecular structure somehow. I don't know.
That's like some alchemy or something.
Well, that's black magic. Yeah, that's no good.
No, the black magic was in Live and Let Die. Alright, should we do... What do you call it? Suspicious Observers 3-Minute News?
Yeah, I'm down for that.
This one's fully loaded.
Good morning, folks. As we've discussed, sometimes large quakes rip L waves across the planet, and that's what you see here. Caused by a 6.6 earthquake that struck the subduction zone off the south coast of Costa Rica hours ago, easily the top tremor of the day. We all know Arctic ice hit record low while Antarctic hit record high, but with summer approaching down south, they're melting fast. Too fast. This was the scene in coastal Montevideo, Uruguay. 75-mile-per-hour winds whipped up the water over passing traffic. Russians sent a manned mission to the ISS yesterday. Let's give a cheers to their safety. Also had a gamma burst around 2:30 UTC. Four buoys in event mode, but all are small and of no concern. Unlike the South Bali detector, which has showed 2,000 feet of seafloor rise over the last 90 days, till of course they turned it off, citing data error, in the region that showed similar anomalies at adjacent buoys and under which is the location of the great Indonesian tectonic breakup. EU pressure map. Keep watch at the southeast corner of the blue lows. That's where you can expect to see rain over the next 24 hours, and that northern low is part of the Arctic system, so you're going to get some cold air up there too. New tropical storm in the Pacific. Starting in the Atlantic, however, as Tony is headed east, tropical storm Sontine is cresting the Philippines and headed west with an enormous area, but no eye. In the Caribbean, Sandy is set to make life difficult for residents in Florida and the islands south of it. Australia has cooler temps sweeping across the southern region. On the U.S. pressure map, you see the cyclonic low and the wind driving towards the center. Surprise, where the northern air meets the southern air, we have our severe watch zone this evening. Just after yesterday's X-class solar flare ripped off the southeastern limb, a sunspot center disk was unleashing a long-duration C flare and CME. Earth off to the right here on Stereo B, small ejecta, slightly more visible with Earth off to the left on Stereo A. This may impact Earth. NOAA, as I live and breathe, labeled the Delta spot. Welcome to the party, pal. They omitted the Gamma class from it, and 596, let's have a look at that specifically, the left side here. Gamma is when the polarities are so mixed you can't separate them with a continuous line. You see this little red jumbo is pushing the limit here, but I'll give NOAA that one. Looking down south, and again watching the left side of the active region, Delta spot there with both polarities mixing within the same penumbra. Don't forget those dark coronal holes, north and south, each pushing strong solar wind out there and will face us here soon. That is half of the continued quake watch, turning off the atmosphere on Stellarium to reveal Saturn ready to conjoin the Sun. Then 3 days later, and a day before the full moon, Mars and Jupiter line up on opposite sides of Earth. November kicks off strongly as well, ergo, the flare and quake watches will continue until the sunspot decays or November 3rd, whichever comes first. Eyes open, no fear, it's 6:08 a.m. Eastern Time, and that's the news. Be safe, everyone.
So the planets are not really aligned, but you can see them all around sunrise. That's pretty intense. Well, not all of them. Those major ones that they mentioned.
Yeah, a good chunk of them.
What was it, like Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury. I wonder if that impacts earthquakes. Like having their tidal force semi-aligned.
Well, you know, they like to say not, but the way I kind of think of it, each planet is just a huge magnet floating around in a frictionless environment, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, if you take two magnets and put them on a table, they move around.
Yeah, they definitely exert force on each other.
Yeah,
if not magnetic, gravitational.
Personally, I think it's kind of silly to say that, oh, they're too far away. I don't know.
Well, like Europa, for example, the whole reason that it supposedly has water under all that ice is because Jupiter is constantly exerting force on it as it goes around. So it's like wobbling, and that's, you know, kinetic energy is like heat energy. If there's... I'm sure at the core of a planet, like, that kind of wobble, since there's so much material putting pressure on it, there wouldn't be... There's not a lot of space for it to go, so it would be expressed as heat to a greater degree. I wonder if there's one that's all water. Like, maybe there's no core in that thing.
It's just... this huge frozen puddle.
Yeah, it just compresses until you get hot ice because the water is so pushed together.
Whoa.
That it can't be liquid, but it would have a lot of heat.
Yeah. But then again, doesn't Jupiter just put off some heat? Or is that it?
Does it?
Oh, well. Did you ever see that big triangle out of sunspots on the sun? That was like March 3rd or something.
I didn't see it, but what does that mean if there's a triangle of sunspots?
I don't know, but it was scary looking.
So those are just big magnetic zones on the sun.
Apparently, like... But... they say it's cooler in there, but I think now we're starting to think it's way hotter than anywhere else.
But it doesn't give off light.
Right. So that's like, maybe the sun's gonna collapse a little bit sooner than we thought. Maybe that's what a brown dwarf star does. You know, it doesn't put off any heat. It's like a failed star.
I want to see one of those, like, you know how it's like that's after a white dwarf, right? The brown dwarf, when it's fading out. Eventually, it's got to fade to just about nothing.
Well,
so wouldn't it get cool enough for you to walk on?
Whoa.
There could be like a weird class of ancient planets out there that are just black lumps of coal.
That's wild.
What if the sunspots are wormholes or something?
Actually, you know, now that you say that, the back on the triangle thing, some people were kind of thinking about that. Like, that's...
Oh, like the Delta T shit, like pyramid power?
Yeah.
How it's some kind of conductive shape.
Like an obelisk?
Yeah. Yeah, those are all pointed and triangular at the top.
To channel Earth's energy.
But to where?
It apparently absorbs more and, like, projects it out into the surroundings. Like, that's why there's a huge one in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe they know something we don't.
Oddly enough, it's on one of the, where the Earth's energy has a focal point. kind of like where the pyramids are, and like every religious structure.
In the geometry of the magnetic field?
Yeah, it's like a some crazy agon type of shape. But,
Say the pyramids are like aligned in a certain way to, the theory that I was seeing this on was like for as a landing strip for UFOs. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You'd think they could figure out where they are on the planet on their own if they came billions of light years.
Nah.
They're probably pretty, I mean, our weird little Martian junk can fly down all on its own. That's why they were so tense when the recent one landed, because it was reacting on its own, like running its own program. So there were 7 minutes where they didn't have contact because it's going through the atmosphere, but they don't know if it's going to make it or not.
And that's how Skynet was born.
Oh, shit, yeah. And there's that one. Is it Mission to Mars with the sentient robot that tries to kill Val Kilmer?
Was that the one where the dude got torn apart by the weird Mars tomato? Tomato?
Yeah, I think so.
It's the only scene from that movie I really remember.
They had like those. They planted a bunch of algae or something on Mars, and then these weird needle things swarmed on it and devoured it. I think a couple of people get eaten by them in that one. I think that's also the one where, like, they have to escape using an alien ship that's inside the face on Mars.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I could be confused. There's Mission to Mars and there's Red Planet, and they're both the same movie in my mind. And Ghosts of Mars is their sequel. With Ice Cube and his chrome Uzis.
So what about them spiders you were talking about on Mars?
What spiders?
Are you saying there were spiders on Mars?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think that was David Bowie.
Huh. Okay.
We watched that video last time of the Alternative 3 landing.
Oh, yeah. 1962.
That thing looked kind of spider-like, maybe.
Crawling subterranean.
Martian mole rat. I wonder if that's fake.
Well, I don't know. The credibility is kind of iffy.
Carpenter came on and I got distracted. How about that undersea volcano or whatever? Off the coast of the Philippines with the ocean depth changing, 2,000 feet?
In, I think it was 30 days, maybe 60 days.
That sounds like a volcanic eruption to me.
A really fast.
A big one, yeah. Luckily there's all that water.
Yeah.
I heard a theory a long time ago about the Bermuda Triangle and it being some kind of volcanic thing. Or maybe a fissure in the seafloor. And it would release a strong magnetic pulse somehow, if it was made of the right material, which would screw with airplane and ship navigational stuff.
I heard something interesting like that. You know how you can magnetize things and it stays magnetic for a while?
Yeah.
Well, they were saying the Bermuda Triangle and the Japanese Dragon's Triangle, I think it is. It's off the coast of Japan where that underwater pyramid was found.
Oh, that's
or the underwater complex. But they were saying that it was once one of the poles, one of the magnetic poles was there, and the ground is just sort of a memory of a magnet, and it, I guess it might have flares every now and again, or if it's always okay. happening.
So there's areas of potential.
Mm-hmm. No, they think that we
there
might have had
one of those recently that they were measuring. I don't remember where it was, but it was a change in the magnetic field by a significant amount. I should look it up. It is the Dragon's Triangle that you were talking about.
Oh, cool.
In the Devil's Sea. Contrary to some pop culture belief, neither the Dragon's Triangle nor the Bermuda Triangle is located on the Agonic Line, where the magnetic north equals the geographic north. The position of the Agonic Line varies with time, and at present, the North American section of the line is drifting westward. Moreover, because neither location is plotted on any official world map, the size and the perimeters of both the Dragon's Triangle and the Bermuda Triangle vary from author to author.
Hmm. Well, I think that just shot my thing down.
Ancient legends, dating back to 1000 BCE, say that dragons lived off the coast of Japan, and presumably there, which might explain why people disappear. They were eaten by dragons.
How far we've come.
I don't know, maybe there are dragons. What was that movie, Reign of Fire? Where all the dragons wake up and you have to fight them with tanks and stuff. I don't think it did very well.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Close enough, or in the right way. But that could be how Jupiter got its bigger sized moons.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think I heard that the popular theory is that they collapsed from rings, and that one day Saturn's will be moons instead of spread out rings.
Hmm. Interesting.
Some of the chunks in that are 2 kilometers wide, so you could go and stand on them.
And be totally good.
Just gotta fly up to them, and then take a bunch of pictures. Sell it as a desktop wallpaper. seem to be hung up on the idea of going to space.
Well, that's a pretty good thing to be hung up on. I think we should be there. I think we need to be there. I don't understand why we're focusing on everything else when there's so much to explore and look at and do out there.
Yeah, it's fine if we want to send probes around. I mean, that's how you start out getting to someplace, but we should have moon bases and Martian bases and I don't know. How about a deep space station, like at a Lagrange point or in the asteroid field?
That'd be pretty sweet. Oh crap. Oh, yeah. I was told that moon crust or Earth moon,
the soil or whatever
the
they
soil
have.
Soil of the moon. It's supposed to be like a really good energy source, and like some like one payload of the shuttlecraft that we had would power the United States for I think at least a year, if not two or three.
What would it be made out of that you could burn it? Or
I think what they called it was helium 3.
Oh, it's rich in helium.
Helium 3, whatever that is.
That's a heavier version.
Heavier version, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
It's produced in the proton-proton reaction. I think that happens in the sun. Or in a fusion reactor. Or on Star Trek. That's how you justify lithium existing. In the dilithium.
So why do you think Jupiter is losing its storm, or a ring of storms, and the big red spot slowing down, losing power?
I think it could be seasonal. Or related to the solar season, if that's what you would call it.
In regards to, I guess, the galactic equinox.
Oh, that could be too. Isn't our galactic orbit something like 600,000 years?
Yeah. Apparently we're coming up on it.
That's a remarkably close number to the pole shift shift estimate. That's like 75.
Yeah, it's kind of like when
750,000.
It's I think it's pretty close to the same as Yellowstone erupting too.
Oh, so it's all just gonna come due at once.
Yeah, the universe is gonna buttfuck us.
We're gonna be pulled in every rich direction by our stellar neighbors. And that's gonna scatter the planets like billiard balls. And as they pass close, they'll pull on the hot spot of Yellowstone just enough to devastate the atmosphere just before it's stripped away entirely by solar storms.
Man, that's gonna be fun. I can't wait.
If we didn't die immediately, it'd be fun.
Nah, we just gotta dig a little hole in the backyard. Like a
spider hole. A Mars spider hole.
Make it, you know, a trench, like they do for the atom bomb testing.
Oh, there you go.
Like the soldiers are trained to go into the nuclear fallout or whatever. I bet none of them are around anymore.
I heard the guys who went to clean up Chernobyl, a lot of them, since they saw horrible shit, they became alcoholics. The ones that became alcoholics lived longer because it caused their thyroid to replace iodine a little faster. So if they got any fallout, that's where most of it goes. Radioactive iodine. And just replace it with you know, whatever they were eating outside of the radiation zone.
Holy crap, it's time to become an alcoholic then.
Yeah, you just gotta take your medicine.
Yeah. The weird disaster over in Japan with the nuclear plant.
There was a whole bunch of old people that volunteered to go clean it up, trying to seek an honorable death.
I gotta say, that's pretty noble.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Props to them, seriously.
They're better than us, huh? I don't think my grandma would walk into radiation. Not that she'd be of much use cleaning it up, but...
You know, I bet... I don't have any grandparents, but I bet my parents would go. You know, I'd probably go if there was a few generations below me. Well, it's been fun, but, you know...
Yeah, if you
duty
were done.
Calls.
Thing is, you always hear outlandish survival stories that come out of that. Oh, this guy... There's the guy who had such horrible radon in his basement that he worked at a nuclear plant, and when he came to work, he set off the alarm. I'm like, you're not supposed to be able to set it off going in, because he hasn't been exposed to anything yet.
Wow. He must have had a weird collection.
I think he's one of the cases that inspired actually testing for radon. That one's weird, because it never decays. Or it takes forever to decay. And it sinks.
Hmm.
So it goes to the lowest point in your house.
Is that like that's a nuclear byproduct, right?
No, it's semi-naturally. I think they can produce it synthetically, but most of it's natural. It's just settling out. You know, it gets kicked up out of the ground. And, you know, it's just a little atom. It doesn't pair up with anything, and it's stable, or it's a noble gas, or whatnot, so it doesn't react. Just bounces around forever and ever, and then eventually settles in your basement until your dog comes and sniffs it up.
Or you set the radon detector off at work.
The probe they're sending out to Pluto is powered by a nuclear battery.
Well, I hope no aliens find that. They might be pissed at us.
There's so much gamma radiation in the vacuum of space. Supposedly, factually, it produces about 250 watts now, and it decays to 200 watts by the time it gets to Pluto. So, like, the battery runs down on those.
Well, at least I'll have fun while it goes.
Can't power your cell phone, though.
So, I think I heard that butterflies are being affected by the nuclear disaster over in Japan too, and I thought like insects and things were like more resilient to radiation and whatnot.
At least cockroaches are. I don't know. Fuck, lost my train of thought.
Proceed.
So that's the nuclear disaster. That's pretty much beyond human capacity to fix, right?
Yeah, like they let in ocean water and just let it back out into the ocean, so a ton of the radiation has been carried everywhere, and it's in the air. And I think it's probably still burning.
I think so too.
I mean, Chernobyl is. But...
Well, that was a meltdown. What Japan had was a melt-out. Like it melted through, didn't it?
Did they cool it enough to stop the reaction? Because that's what
And they still got, they're still doing on. It. So they probably failed in, you know, stopping it. It's probably happening.
Yeah, so there's probably just a chunk of molten nuclear material in there. Well, five of them.
Yeah.
Just sort of fizzling away. But, well, in Chernobyl's case, now, what has it been, like, 60 years? They have a camera monitoring the inside. And there's mold growing on the side of the reactor. Just thick black mold that I guess is perfectly comfortable with all the radiation.
Well, there's hope for the planet, but probably not for us.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
Thank you, Jeff Goldblum. He's the best. We're gonna have a virtual Jeff Goldblum before long.
The soundboard, like Jeff Goldblum soundboard.
Oh, let's see if that exists. Certainly should.
So back on that heavenly body thing, probably a few thousand years ago, there was some kind of report from a few different places around the world, like, you know, ancient China and Britain and whatnot, they said that something flew through the sky, and it had such a force that it actually pulled the setting sun back up into the sky. Now it didn't move the sun,
no,
but it pulled our rotation backwards for like a half a day.
Could it have pulled our axis out of alignment?
No, that could have been. But up until that point, all the old cultures had 360 days in their year.
Right.
And then after this event, it jogged how long it takes us to get to it. It made it longer. So now we have 365 days.
Well, and then this planet or
whatever,
this massive object
cruised straight on through and left us alone.
Do you think it's for it to come back, it has to be going a certain speed? Do you think it's going fast enough to leave forever?
Probably not. Maybe
it could have just been passing through.
I guess it could have been passing through, or it could have been slingshotted back around the sun like a lot of comets and things. You know, maybe something like a 3,600-year orbit or so.
Well, it's certainly possible. Halley's Comet is, what, 76 years?
Hmm. I don't know.
If it had enough force to pull, you know, gravitational force to pull our day back, probably bigger than a comet.
Oh yeah. But that doesn't mean it's going fast enough to reach escape velocity for the solar system.
No, that's true.
And if it exerted just enough force to only affect us by one day and slow down the rate of revolution, but not the rotation, It must have been going pretty fast, right?
Probably.
Because
I mean,
that's a like quick, not a lot of time to exert force over.
A quick jog. Yeah.
So just shoots past. Do you think it was on the night side or the day side? You'd probably be able to see it from a good chunk of both.
Yeah. I mean, if it was as big as, you know, I'm thinking. I don't know, maybe it's a binary star system that we have here in the Milky Way, where we're sitting with the, our sun has a star, a binary star.
I wonder about that. Like, what is our interstellar neighborhood like? There's a couple stars that are within a couple light years. Proxima Centauri and Alpha Centauri, I think, are both less than 10 light years away.
Hmm.
Like, are we co-orbiting something else with them?
We're all spinning around in the galaxy.
Yeah, and on that, like, the galaxy evolves too.
Yeah.
Maybe something could jumble into us.
Our galaxy hits another galaxy. The Andromeda
galaxy. That supposedly
is
going to happen. And that won't be good.
You know, I also heard a little fairy tale, like back in 1961, there was a science magazine, and it on the cover it said, "Oh, this planet will be here in 2012. Prepare." And back then they're like, "Oh, whatever. It's 50 years from now. Big deal." Well, here it is, 50 years later.
Well, we'll see.
And on the cover of this magazine, it had, like, this big red planet in the sky, and this, like, 3-mile-high tidal wave crashing down over the city and whatnot.
I saw a movie like that from that era.
Yeah.
They built a giant rocket sled that went up a mountain. So, like, the rocket goes in a rant, like a roller coaster, and then turns up 90 degrees and shoots into space. With the significant population of the Earth on it, including the Illuminati.
Oh, shit!
Just wrap it up.
I'm done for now. What do you want to wrap it up with?
We should choose a song that we usually do, or we're going to do usually.
I don't know.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
You gotta go, you gotta go. Yeah, he called me. What, do you know what it's about? You listening? You listening? You listening?
Did Jeff Goldblum ever do any TV shows?
I don't think so. Well, except for Law and Order Criminal Intent.
I'm gonna have to go out with that.
He did some other show right before he did Law and Order where he was basically doing the exact same thing. Like, he just transplanted his character.
Let me become your major project. I'm talking about a book. Cheeseburger.
If I was walking in a bookstore and I saw a hardback that was a big, thick book, and it said Cheeseburger by Jeff Goldblum, I would buy it immediately.
Yeah. Cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, ooh, that's how it always starts.
I've come here to say one magic word to you. Listen, I'll make a cappuccino. I don't have a life, so there's nothing for you to interfere with.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, enough of this horseshit.
Good night.
Come on, we gotta get out of here.